You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Listen to the Gooligans. In this first segment, we talk about a lot. We talk about where's Trump kids playing? Is he hanging out with Rooney? We talk about white cops. Those Vancouver white cops, you know who they are. Big fans, I'm sure. We talk about a lot of things.
And in the second segment, we talk about all the MLS playoff games. They were just too intense.
There's so many of them. So many things are happening.
Too close. I'm too nervous. What's going to happen in leg number two? We'll figure it all out. All this and more today on the Gooligans!
Hi, this is ESPN's Bob Lee, and you're listening to the Gooligans. What the heck is that?
Yeah, baby!
Yes, yes!
Yeah. Hello, welcome to the show. It's the Election Day special, where we're going to talk 2 hours of politics and politics exclusively.
I believe you mean the day after the election special.
No. This is what we're doing. We're doing the recap.
We're gonna release this on a Tuesday for no reason.
Hello, everybody.
How are you?
Welcome to the
election is between you and I.
That's right. Team Alexis.
This is the midterm.
Team Polanco. Team Alexis is gonna be. It's a little difficult. I mean, this is the debate. You're listening.
This is what's important. This is what people are interested in, is how the Gooligans, the state of the Gooligans address.
That's right. Okay. So, every year we crush it.
4 goals in 7 years ago.
Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero.
And we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host a soccer podcast. It's not only the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to.
I mean, it is, though. It is. But it's not just that.
It's not exclusively.
It also happens to be the gulliest soccer podcast.
Wow, we just mixed them all in.
We just threw it all in.
It sounded like an ad-lib in a rap song. But then it was like, when they too many of them are
too many of them. Your homies are in the studio, and you're like, this is why only one person should be in the studio.
You can't have this many people doing ad-libs.
Go sit on the couch. Why are you in the booth with me?
It is the day after Election Day when you're listening to this, but we did, I hope you guys collected your I voted stickers.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe you're listening to this as the world is burning and the state has fallen.
Maybe this is like the sweet comfort that you need as everything is collapsing around you.
This is what you're doing as the Blackwater soldiers are coming around. Rounding everyone up. You're hiding in your basement just listening to this.
Sure. Well, the Blackwater, I think Blackwater went out of like business, quote unquote.
Right. You know? That's what they want you to think.
I think they did like a rebranding.
Yeah,
that's rebranding. Really, you know, change the image
totally
of the
cool guys with guns incorporated. So like, I mean, I don't know what the big issue
it's
is.
It's different now.
Yeah. Okay? We're not the guys from Afghanistan. We were all there, but we're not those guys anymore.
So, I mean, there's a, like we said, hope you voted. If you didn't vote, hopefully you at least got the I voted sticker, because that's more important than actually voting. You got to let people, you got to flex on the gram.
You got to put on the gram. You got to let people know that you got a sticker.
You got a sticker.
Yeah.
So it's like you got to go up to people, run them stickers because I'm ineligible to vote in this district.
Yo, honestly, I just hit a bunch of buttons. I just want that damn sticker. I wrote in Popeye for 2 of the things.
Because I know what I'm here for.
Your boy ain't paying attention to that. And the reason I wrote in Popeye is because I'm trying to get chicken every day.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
I didn't even know he was a cartoon.
The cartoon candidate, sure. I'm sure he would make a great candidate, too.
And by the way, if you did vote,
he's definitely pro-vegetable. We 100% know that.
Pro-vegetable. I'm the other dude who wants the hamburger.
Oh, Brutus.
Maybe. Isn't I thought I was going to go Hamburglar, and I knew that wasn't it. So I just stopped.
Well, you are wearing purple, so.
I am your boy wearing purple. Shouts to Clubhouse Athletic. They have this dope set. You buy a jersey, and some of that money, it'll go towards getting equipment and jerseys for a team in Cuba.
That's right. So
the greatest league you've never seen.
All right, but Cuba is going to be the next couple of weeks, they're going to have clearly, there's a big game coming up. As we talked about.
Against the weakest opponent they can find.
Okay, a country that's maybe a third larger than Cuba, all right? Yeah. So, a Caribbean powerhouse, the Dominican Republic.
Cuba, I think, might be bigger.
Cuba is not bigger than Dominican Republic.
No?
Cuba's pretty small.
I think, but in Seoul.
Oh, wait, no. You know what?
I think Cuba's bigger.
Cuba might be bigger than DR, but maybe not bigger than the Hispaniola, the island of Haitian DR.
Yeah, but you guys don't count the Haitians in when you're saying DR. Remember, you guys out of your country.
That's why I didn't count it right now. That's why I didn't count it right now.
Sock my say, all my Haitian people rooting for Cuba. Cuba, baby. So this is a dope shirt, man. We got bananas on the side.
Yeah, there's bananas all on the sleeve. It says Banana Club.
Banana Club on the front.
On the chest. It's
legit. La Liga in Cuba, which is like a beautifully stitched on. This isn't like one of those, like, you know, 3D printed joints.
Yeah.
And they got Clubhouse Athletic. It's fire, dude.
Look
at this long sleeve joint. Go buy this. Go to clubhouseathletic.com and buy one of these.
Yeah.
You're helping out kids in Cuba play soccer. What's more important than that?
So thank you, guys. We got a card from Adam at Clubhouse Athletic. Yeah. He says,
I believe it's Adam Lavitola.
Okay, cool. So he said, love the show, guys. Hope you like these jerseys and a couple shirts, because why not?
Yeah, why not?
Thank you so much,
Clubhouse Athletic. Go check them out.
We appreciate it. And
it's for a good cause.
Yeah. And look, Cuba's going to need some help because DR is about to wax them right there in the
with all the illegal Spaniards
in the Nations League. Okay. No, those are our conquerors. Yeah. We are one.
Yeah. We told them to stick around a little bit.
That's literally exactly what happened. If you look up Dominican history, that's exactly what happened.
Literally what happened.
They separated. They had a revolution against Haiti and they actually went back to be conquered by Spain. Yeah.
They were like, all right, we'll take you back.
I know that you tuned in for that.
This is Dominican History Month forever. By the way, also, if you did vote, if you did not vote, if you buy a Clubhouse Athletic shirt, or if you don't, there's one thing you should still do, and that is join Gully Squad. Huh?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Thank you. More and more people are signing up, and we put out the episode last week.
Put out a second episode?
Second episode.
How did it feel? Some people asked me if I had a cold.
That's right. Yeah. Most people were worried about you. They were like, is Alexis working too hard?
Yeah.
Two episodes a week. He might collapse.
This is too much. His wife is back there going, no, he's not. But she was asleep in the other room.
That's why she had to be a little quiet. Like,
hey, baby. I had to do it real low.
Yeah.
People thought it was muted.
If that hey, baby feels a little bit more like seductive, like you're actually talking to your wife.
Hey, baby. So I had
the Cooligan second episode is going to be a much spicier episode.
A lot of Sade.
This is a name who I've corrected you 4,000 times.
Well, that's why I look back at you like I'm probably saying it wrong.
But yeah, so
integral.
I hope you appreciated that. Thank you for everybody who signed up. And again, the Facebook group is already popping. The
Facebook group is wild.
All right.
I forgot is that, we have fans from all over the league.
That's right.
In this Facebook group, and they are not letting up.
So the good thing is, and it's interesting seeing this interaction.
Yeah.
Because it is people who support different clubs across the league, right? It's talking trash, but like you can talk trash like on Twitter in a very public format.
Right.
But when you do it in the Gully Squad Facebook group, it's like, okay, we're like-minded individuals in that we support.
We all like Cooligans.
We like Cooligans.
We're all Cooliganaholics. But also, F your squad. You know what I mean? It's like that little bit of
which is nice. Yeah. You know,
it's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's a little fun. So it's like people are still learning the boundaries of like, wait, what can I say here exactly?
Yeah.
And
how mean can you be?
Yeah, and we're seeing that it's in its infancy.
Right.
So look, join the Gully Squad and go in there and go barreling with some real mean shit.
See how far we can push that envelope, man.
Okay. So then
do some reps before you walk in. Just talk trash about some of the things you see in your apartment. You know what I mean? Talk trash about the fridge. Don't talk trash about the table. Don't talk trash about your man or girl. You know what I mean? And then come in here hot, ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. So
Gully Squad Facebook group.
Exactly. So that's been one of the more bigger surprises, at least
very
for me.
Very entertaining.
Very, very entertaining. So
by the way, if you want to join that group, the only way to do it is to join Gully Squad. Okay. You also could tell us, you could post things about that, things you want us to talk about, stuff like that. So join Gully Squad. Go to our website, soccercooligans.com. Click on that join Gully Squad. You know what to do. You've done this a million times
exactly,
on our website.
Man, you
click on it.
You got money. You don't even need. You got all that money. Look, right now, look at that coin jar across your room, right? You're listening to this on your bed or something, and then on your bed, you know how you do,
baby.
And there's like a bunch of coins.
You right? got coins everywhere.
You got coins everywhere. Yeah. Yo,
you can't find a coin star. Nobody knows where it is.
No, but I've never seen one.
Never
since
seen one.
2006.
Yeah, they're done. What are you waiting for, my guy?
Okay, Penny Arcade. They took them out of all the TD banks.
Yeah, dude. What are you gonna do? You're gonna bring that to the bank? They're gonna make you roll it up. You don't want to do that.
But they're gonna laugh at you first.
Yeah, they're gonna laugh. Toss it at us.
Yeah. Help us make that second episode. Make just more Cooligans content, man. And it's been great. And a lot of people have been signing up and been really supportive. And seriously, like, it helps us so much
tremendously.
Because every podcast don't make money.
No,
I never heard about anyone podcast making money.
Neither do comedians. We're doing both of those things.
Okay, we made two mistakes, two really huge mistakes,
but like back to back, you know, and have really committed our lives to it.
So let's get to a couple things that in soccer in a moment. But
funniest review of the week.
Reviews are just. I have to go back a little bit because there's some ones that we just overlooked that were just too funny. But this one was from G Liendo, which I think his first name is Gabe. I remember this name looks familiar. I think it might be Gabe Liendo, and it just says un zafacón. Right? And he goes, straw es pitillo. Polanco no es colombiano nada. Ya tú sabes. Forever Hispanic Heritage Month squad.
So, he's if you didn't know that, he basically said Polanco's not Colombian and never will be, essentially.
That's right. He's kicked me out of
the country that you've been a member of your entire life for the past few months.
Exactly. Okay. So yeah. I've been from Colombia in my entire life since the World Cup.
Yeah, forever.
Okay.
Since the World Cup.
You can't deny that?
No.
What, you going to tell my mom that I'm not Colombian?
Right?
You're crazy.
For the past few months?
All right, because she'll lose her mind. Yeah.
He's got the paperwork to prove it.
Okay. It's written on a banana. Yeah,
which is all you need.
So thank you, Gabe. Thank you again for the reviews. It always helps more people hear about the show. We're at 285 reviews.
We're so close to 300.
We're so close. 15 people. You're listening to this. You're like, nobody. There's so many people who leave reviews that say, I never leave reviews. I hate leaving reviews.
I know.
But
do it for us.
So do it for us, man.
We need it.
We appreciate it.
It's such a huge help.
So thank you. Some people may not know what we're talking about, but there are a couple episodes ago, we had the straw debate when we were in Dallas.
Strawgate.
What do Latinos call a straw?
Yeah, some call it like a straw, like hay. You know what I mean? Like that straw, like a straw you would drink.
Which is, I've never heard.
So. Yeah, it's, I don't know, Chile. It's not Bolivia. One of them does it. Okay. Somebody messaged us because this became a thing.
Yes.
This became a bit of a thing. Okay. And we all know, I don't even understand why it's a thing. We all know that Cuba, right here on my chest, they say correctly, absorbente.
Yeah.
It sounds right. I don't know why to stop. What's the abbreviation about, you people use?
It's not.
Yes, I meant you people.
It's not about what sounds right or wrong. Obviously, the different dialects use different words. No. This is the same thing. We had the.
This was all from the Dallas trip because a lady asked me if I wanted a popete.
A popote.
Popote. And I was like.
Not popeye. Yeah. That's a different person.
Yeah, wow. Already? Popote, which. Popo is poop in some, you know.
Oh, I thought it was cops. I'm like, yo, is Popo right here?
Popo.
Yo,
Popote? No, we don't. Why, we look like we want problems?
So listen to the episode.
Anyway, yeah, Popote, and that confused me. So we went down this rabbit hole.
Yes.
Turns out we got to call Joanna Hausman. She always does those videos.
Oh, that's right.
She's the one who could, I think, solve this for us.
Joanna Hausman from, we met her at Flama. She's a Bill Nye show on Netflix.
Yeah, now she just said Joanna Hausman comedy. Very funny. Joanna Rants. Yeah. Check those out.
And she does a lot of like different like what Latino cultures use, you know, what words they use for different things.
And this is an important one. I think we need to have her here to resolve
to
this.
To sort it out. That's right.
What should Latinos call straws? She's Venezuelan.
Yes.
So I think she'll get it wrong. But absorbente is clearly the right one.
We'll bring the expert and just tell her she's wrong.
Yeah. I mean, she's not an expert. I'm just saying she's wrong because she can't be an expert if you're wrong. You know what I mean? So maybe I'm the expert now.
Yeah.
Absorbente. Pakua.
So thank you again for the review. Again, it's always super helpful. Help
us get, yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Help us get to 300.
300. Let's get it.
So look, we're gonna get to MLS playoffs because this weekend was bananas.
It was
bananas on the shirt.
It was B-A-N-A-N-O-S. This week is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-O-S.
All right, Gwen Stefani would be proud, yeah, right?
She's not gonna sue us.
So
Gwen Stefani leaves a review. It's absolutamente. Oh my God, Gwen Stefani.
Oh my God, Gwen's listening.
Gwen Stefani, I knew you were listening.
Oh my God, I'm just a girl, you know, yeah, just doing a podcast. So the a couple changes, right? So right now we're sitting in new chairs in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, people can't hear that. Why? Are
yeah,
we
but we got
that?
We got to look. We got to let people know just in case the energy of the show feels a little different. Unless we're a little bit more relaxed than usual.
You think you think you're too relaxed? Right. We're using like legit computer chairs.
I don't know. Can you do a Guerrera in that chair?
Oh, can I? You have no idea. I'd slam down on the arms.
It might be a gorilla lecture.
Yeah. Well, you don't realize also, I don't know if you can even sit in the video. We have a podium.
Yeah,
there's
maybe Tim can go put the camera on. There's a podium right here.
They have like a podium, which I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't know we had a podium available to us. That's perfect for Guerrero rants.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, and it feels a little too Alexis behind the podium giving a Guerrero rant feels
just
a little
worry.
Feels a little too dictatorish.
Yeah. Oh my God. Immediately. I think once I saw the podium, I went up and I realized the mic was on while Tim was setting up in here. I was like, oh, I wish I had one of these. And I was like, you know, if I became a politician, I'd be corrupt. And he's like, I've listened to the show.
Yeah, just the podium makes him more corrupt.
Oh, man. God. From the moment I'm back there, I start checking underneath. That's what I start doing.
Where's the money stuck up to the...
Where's the envelope at? Where is it?
So, yeah, so if the show sounds any different, blame the chairs.
Yeah, we're sitting on chairs. But you know what's not different? MLS playoffs. They're almost too lit. They're too litty.
So we're going to get to it because there's a lot that we'll say
stuff's happening.
Stuff has happened because Der Spiegel is out here, you know, dropping,
flaming anything,
naming names. Yeah. Okay,
if a soccer ball has hit your foot, Der Spiegel coming after you.
Okay, Der Spiegel should be the new TMZ because they're getting all the scoops.
They're getting it all. And let me just say,
Ronan Farrell's working for Der Spiegel.
Ronan Farrell uncovering everything. Oh, I'm talking to everybody. Let me say, you know how MLS doesn't stop for international breaks?
Yes.
The world of soccer does
not
stop
for the playoffs. They definitely,
They totally do. They're like, oh, do we have momentum? Let's just stop. But all right, the rest of the world is getting retribution by not stopping what they're doing for the MLS playoffs. They're like, we're going to keep uncovering bad stuff. We're going to keep playing other games.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in a second. But in American soccer, there's been a couple of things that have been going on. The first we should address, because this happened after the Vancouver Whitecaps, after their season.
Whitecaps. Vancouver Whitecaps. Which, by the way, you're probably not wrong. It's probably a bunch of Whitecaps.
Was it a Freudian slip or was it totally accurate? Who knows? Anyway, the Vancouver White Police. Yeah.
White Policia.
White Popote.
That was all the way around. Yeah.
They had their sort of end of season interviews, exit interviews, so to speak.
The end of season tea spilling party.
Yes, and
I've said this on the show before. Exit interviews are where you let it all out.
Yes,
but usually, Kendall Waston was like, okay,
yeah.
I listened to the Cooligans.
These are like, you know, end of season interview is a little different than an exit interview, because exit interview obviously
not if you don't plan on coming back.
Exactly, you don't. You normally when you do an exit interview, you're not coming back.
Yeah, you're like, peace.
At the end of the season, you're like, all right, we had a rough season. It didn't go the way we wanted. But, you know, we're going to try even harder next season. Yeah. And the offseason is going to be all about work and grinding.
Right. If all end of season interviews or whatever these are called were just like exit interviews, they would televise the Orlando City one, because is something.
We got to talk about that in a second. But Vancouver, they're giving all their interviews to the media, and a bunch of people said different things, right? So some people were just like commenting about the state of the locker room and that they really wasn't that united.
Right.
Especially when Carl Robinson was fired, they felt like it was a detriment to the team and try to get into the playoffs, because they were pretty close. They just needed to win like three, four games out of their last like 10, and they probably would have made it in. But really, we have to highlight Kendall Waston. Because Kendall Waston, who has said that he is done with the Vancouver Whitecaps, and
he's out of here.
I feel like it feels a little bit like more the way Latinos would say it, the Whitecaps,
Los Whitecaps.
Yeah. So it's not too far off, right? So he just went in, right? And this caused a stir.
He seems sincere, though. Can we give him that?
Yeah. When you're angry, people tend to be sincere.
No, but I mean, like, he wasn't flaming for no reason. He didn't roast. He just said, like, look, y'all want to know what really happened?
Yeah.
Nobody said yes, but he still told him. He still went ahead.
So he basically said he's already made this public that he does not want to stay with the team. He has a year left on his deal, but he wants to be traded or sold. And
apparently he's been taking Mandarin classes. The rumor is that he wants to go to China.
Really? Okay. Uh-huh. Look at that.
Get that money.
Expanding his horizons out there. That's cool for a Costa Rican dude.
Not bad.
Not bad. These are a couple of quotes. I'll pull a couple randomly. He goes, I'm not a liar. I'm honest, transparent. If I say today I want to leave. I'm not going to change my mind. Then he went on to say, it's more the personal side where the decision is. I want to win. I want to get better in different areas in my life, said Waston. I wasn't happy about Robinson's firing, obviously. But at the end, coaches go, players go. And at the end, this is a business. It didn't make me happy. But what I don't like is two-faced people.
Ouch.
Ooh, who is he talking about?
Clearly, he's talking about the person who fired Carl Robinson.
Maybe.
So whoever that was, whether it was a VP or a director of player personnel, whoever it was that did that, that person is getting thrown under all types of buses.
But now this is when it gets very Latino, and this is why I'm gonna love Kendall Waston forever.
Yeah.
Unless he's playing the U.S. men's national team in Rebel Arena,
right?
He caused a lot of trouble out there because that's basically Costa Rica.
Yeah. You mean in a Costa Rican home match?
So he goes, I don't like to be ungrateful. I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me.
Here we go.
And the journalist corrected his colloquialism because he just says, I don't want to bite the hand, which is this. I love Latino. Yeah. They just I know what it is.
Yeah. I've heard it three times.
I don't want to bite the hand. Yeah. You know, you get me, bro.
You don't have to correct me.
So he goes, I don't want to bite.
Wait, so they did that thing in the brackets?
Yeah, in the brackets.
I love it when they're like, this person doesn't know what they're doing. So let's put that in the bracket.
You should leave it as is because he didn't want to bite the hand.
He doesn't want to bite any hand.
He doesn't want to bite.
By the way, you shouldn't bite any hands. Don't bite any
hands. Okay, don't correct him. He knows what he's talking about.
He's right.
So he goes, but as a man, I have to see what's best for my wife and son. Because in the end, when I finish my career, who's going to give me the rice and beans? No one. I see, papa.
What's important to you? My family, my friends, my children. Who's giving me the rice and beans?
I want that rice and beans. You gave me some rice, but not enough beans.
This is what we talked about. Financial stability. I need enough rice and enough beans.
We had an agreement.
Yeah.
Are you not a man of your word?
And I specifically don't want one on top of the other. I want one on the side.
Okay. I know some cultures like to mix it together, but I like them separate.
Alexis is Cuban, loves the beans on top of the rice. And I'm like, that is true. Yeah. Not me.
Puerto Ricans like ketchup on their rice. I don't even understand why they do
What's
that.
What's happening? Puerto Rico. Nobody's asking these questions. These are important.
Justin.
Daddy Yankee wants to know who's giving him the rice, the beans, and the ketchup.
So, and where does he get his gasolina? Anyway.
He loves it. Needs to have it.
He needs mas, as he says. This is just amazing.
This is perfect quote.
This is the best, one of the best MLS quotes in history, I would say.
I think the next time you and I go into like some type of, you know, a negotiation for like a hosting event or something.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to be like, whoa.
Well, you know what's missing?
I'm looking at this contract here and I just don't see enough rice and beans. And I think you all know what I mean. I'd hate to bite the hand. Goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, just shame on you for bringing us such a insufficient deal. You know, I mean, this is an insult to me and my family.
Yeah. And the plate, which is now not having enough rice and beans.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, you think you're important to us, you're just a needle in the hay.
Just nailing it. You better understand my English.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Don't play me.
You don't need no brackets, dog.
But this caused a stir with the Vancouver Whitecaps. The rest of the team, there were a bunch of players that were just like, you know, that he should have kept that to himself. That's stuff you say in the locker room. You don't say that publicly. But it looks
they're
like
they're right. But also, who cares?
Okay, good point, Alexis. I actually didn't see it that
end
way.
End of the show. End of show. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, counterpoints. Who cares?
Guess who didn't have a debate class in their high school?
No, but it seems like this is more of a strategic move to get traded, to get sold.
He's pulling the pin.
It's the Jimmy Butler move.
Yeah.
Right? Jimmy Butler just did this. Minnesota Timberwolves went. He wanted to get traded.
Third stringers.
He wanted to get traded. And he goes to the first practice. He held out, right?
He held out, so he showed up late. This is a few practices later.
Yeah.
When he shows up, starts flaming everybody. They all suck. Grab the third stringers, play the first teamers. They agreed to this for some reason. I would have been like, nah, he seems hot. Seems like he might go off for 40. Maybe we should wait, let him cool down. And they beat the first string team.
Yeah. And so Kendall Watson is the Jimmy Butler of MLS. Or the
Paredes. What's the guy's name?
Oh, yes. Leandro Paredes.
Speaking of the pin.
So this is more rumor than fact, but we don't need it. If you listen to the show for facts, you're listening to the wrong show.
You came to the wrong place. Who's going to take a rumor and ride with it? We will. Okay.
Okay. Talk about it like it's absolute truth. Yeah. Okay.
Well, maybe do a 15-minute segment on it. You know, that's us.
So there was a player. So the Super Clásico in the Copa Libertadores is coming up. If you don't know what the Super Clásico is, it's Boca River, one of the biggest games.
One of the most intense matches
in world soccer.
In all of soccer. This is it. This is probably the most intense match.
Yes.
Copa Libertadores is essentially their Champions League.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now there's a derby of two Argentinian teams that are playing in the Champions League final.
The first time in their history, in the history of this competition.
Oh, cool.
The first time in the Super Clásico history that this will be for a final.
Sure.
So this is the first time. In fact, I think they used to not allow them to be on separate sides of the bracket so that this couldn't be a potential.
Okay, that's interesting.
They used to not allow this so that it wouldn't fall to this. This is the first time it was allowed and the first time it's happening. The Copa Libertadores, which is an incredibly important championship in South America, will be decided by the most intense rivalry in all of soccer.
Yeah.
And I can't explain to you how important this is, how massive this is. And it's happening over two legs. They're going to play in both stadiums, La Bombonera. And wherever River Plate plays.
But where does River Plate play? We'll figure it out. Well, but an interesting thing, they're not allowing away fans for either game. Did you hear about this? That's how they're generally concerned about any violence.
Yeah, no.
I mean, because there's violence every time.
The country will be burned to the ground.
Yeah. So
forget whether you have the away fans or not.
So they play in Estadio Monumental Antonio Vespucio Liberti.
Junior.
Estadio
Monumental.
So I did hear about that, right? The other thing that was interesting was there's a player, Leandro Paredes.
Well, now that we said how important the game is, yes.
Yes, the game is clearly a big deal.
This is huge. This is massive.
And just in the regular season, this is a huge game.
To decide a final.
Did we have the Champions League final? Wasn't it Atletico against Real Madrid? Wasn't that a couple years ago? Was that a final or was that the semifinal?
That was the semifinal.
Okay. So that maybe...
No, that was the final. You're right.
Was the final? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is like...
Yeah, but that's like not even as big a deal.
Real Madrid-Barca is a bigger deal.
Yeah. Imagine that Champions League final or imagine like City United to decide the Champions League final.
Exactly.
It's like this is huge. Like I'm trying to find a derby that's more hated. I can't... There's nothing bigger.
Not hated, but more like...
Where the two people
more
are
intense.
Like, yeah. There's just nothing as intense as this.
Sure. I don't know. I don't want to judge your hate for your rival. I don't want to diminish it at all. Feel free to hate your club. Hate your rival as much as you like. But Leandro Paredes plays for Zenit St. Petersburg in Russia. He's out there in Russia, very far from Argentina. But Paredes had a game last weekend. Zenit had a game. And He got red carded in this game.
But there's an investigation.
There's a suggestion that he might have purposely gotten a red card so that he could go to the Super Clásico first leg. So he can fly back to Argentina, which is, if this is true, I mean, bravo, sir.
This is it. You're out there getting the rice and beans, baby. I like it. I respect it.
I was thinking about this, and I'm like, the equivalent of this is, for like a normal person who just has a day job, right? Yeah. You call into work, boss, I just can't make it. And then you fight Argentina, right?
I don't know what it is. Doctor says it's mega contagious.
So this is like the equivalent in soccer. This is how you would have to do this, yeah. Right?
This is playing hooky.
Yeah, because you can't call in to, like, if there's a game, you can't call out sick for a game.
You can't call Zenit in here. You can't call Putin's phone because he owns it. hello?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make it to the game today. Hey, what's all the chanting and snake grilling in the background? I don't know. The TV's on real loud.
Just my mom.
That's insane. She won't shut it off. I gotta go, dog. That's the doctor, actually. He speaks a language you don't understand because you're Russian. I got to go.
So if this is real, I hope it's real.
And by the way, if he loses his job, just play for Boca. He played for Boca for 4 years, yeah. 2010 and 2014.
That's what his heart is, right? Yeah. Forever. That's why a lot of these Argentinian guys, like when we were hanging out with Maxi Urruti, his mate bottle had Newell's Old Boys on it.
Just everything said knob on it. So if you don't like him and you're English, that's a joke.
I don't know why I said Belend as well. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, Belend. It's not Belend.
So I hope this is real. I wonder if he already.
I wonder if that's where Boludo comes from.
What?
Belend.
All right. I don't know why you opened this door. It's very interesting to see how Alexis's brain works.
Every once in a while I get inspired. And when most people would just say that's a headache.
To do homework, right? So it would be interesting if this, I don't think he's flown already. And it's in order to fly. Maybe he did. I don't know the details if he already left. But if he did, everybody on Twitter, the person who tweeted this, Roy Namer, he's a. He covers the Argentinian national team for Mundo Albiceleste, I think. So he tweeted about this. Yeah, mundoalbiceleste.com. And if this is real, man, this would be just the absolute best. Everybody, I can't even stress on his Twitter account under the tweet. There's so many comments, and all of them are just like, we stand with you. Like just the amount of solidarity and support for this man.
Also, they're all like, we get it. Can you bring us with you? Can we go to Argentina to watch this match?
Amazing. So, next up, let's talk about Wayne Rooney a little bit, because Wayne Rooney,
plays for DC United.
Plays for DC United and
did a great job. Got knocked out first round of the playoffs, but what a comeback, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have too much to do with it. The comeback itself.
I would say a significant.
Oh, you mean like not in the? I'm talking about the playoff game specifically.
No. He got
kind of shut down in the season. Yes, yeah. I got him. Give all the credit in the world.
Yeah, he got learned a little bit about MLS.
Yo, the playoffs is a different. It's a new, whole new season.
It's a whole new. You can't. You better leave and come back, dog.
So Wayne Rooney just got called up for the England national team. Wayne Rooney, the retired English national team player.
Going on a promotional tour. Oh, it's an actual game?
It's an actual game. Okay. It's a friendly, again, too, of all people, the United States of America.
Just out here disrespecting the country that pays you.
how convenient, sir. Yeah,
damn.
But some people were a little annoyed about this call-up. They feel like they're wasting a roster spot for a younger player.
It's for one friendly. I agree with them, but it's one friendly. Let him have his, you know, time.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think he had his appropriate goodbye anyway. Landon Donovan got one of these. I mean, Jurgen Klinsmann made a mad disrespect.
I don't think Landon did. When did he get like a proper rule?
Remember, Jurgen brought him back for the one game. I forget it's against who? Costa Rica, maybe. I think in Orlando.
But I think, was it a friendly? Or was it
I think it was a friendly. No, it might have been a qualifying match.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the when Landon retired.
Just give him one run around. It's a fine.
Little lap. Yeah, I'm fine with it. It's weird. For someone who's been so important to the team, and it wasn't like when Wayne Rooney retired, like he was just trash. You know, it was like a year ago when he retired or something like that. Like he wasn't just totally like fell off.
Yeah.
So And he provided a lot of amazing moments for the English.
Who knows? Maybe
team.
Maybe he plays really well, and they consider him moving forward. Probably not going to happen.
Probably not going to happen because you know a lot of these boys are fast up front. You know, yeah. Raheem Sterling.
I would love if he kind of gets in with the locker room a little bit, and those young guys teach him a little something, and he scores, and then he tries to do a Millie Rock.
A little Millie Rock.
That would be amazing.
Wayne Rooney doing the floss dance. Yeah, man, that'd be dope.
Damn, Wayne, you're gonna hurt yourself, bro.
So it's weird because, like, when I think of it now, like, for the U.S. men's national team, I'm like, why? Who would you be that upset? Like, some people were upset, but, like, if they did, like, a send-off for, like, Michael Bradley, like a year from now,
yeah,
it would be, you would feel a little different, right?
It would be odd.
It would be odd.
It would be odd.
It just wouldn't feel totally right, even though he has provided great moments for the U.S. men's national team, but that failure... is difficult, and it's not just his failure exclusively. I don't want to just put it all on him, but it's hard for us to get it out of our mind.
But this is clearly a nod to him, and I get the anger. But dude, he did a lot for that country. He did a lot for teams in that nation. Let him have his moment.
Exactly. So,
and you're playing the U.S. This isn't like, I know they're a big rival to England because of the games we've had in the World Cup. But
and
come on,
because
not,
of 1776 also, right. That was a big deal.
You're damn right.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Redcoats.
We got a little bit of...
If you think we forgot, we never forget.
we share some time. Yeah,
the battle for the rice and beans. It might have been different. I'm not sure.
No, I said my history books are right. I know what they said.
Seems right.
But speaking of Wayne Rooney, I did want to mention this because this was an interesting thing that I saw. I saw Charles Boehm, the homie Charles Boehm, retweeted this, writer for MLSsoccer.com. DMV Soccer 96, which is that's their Twitter handle. They obviously cover in the what's it? What I forgot what the D mean, district, Maryland and Virginia, right? District Columbia, Maryland and Virginia.
DC, Maryland, Virginia.
DC, Maryland. Okay, so they cover all the soccer goings on in the area, and there was an interesting thing. I saw Wayne Rooney signed up his kid to one of the
local academies.
How cool is that? So kind of setting more roots, you know,
right?
With DC and really getting acclimated and stuff like that, which is awesome to see, right? Zlatan didn't do that. Zlatan didn't put his kids, you know, in an academy. I don't know where he put. Did he even put him in school?
Locked him in a basement.
I will teach you. I will teach you. You
learn from me.
So that was cool. And then I saw that tweet, and then I looked up the thread, and it was under a thread of like, oh, this other, so the Wayne Rooney's kid, like, hey, look who else signed up. It was Wayne Rooney's kid. And then the original thread was Barron Trump just signed for a new local academy.
Oh boy.
In DC. So there's a possibility that at some point Wayne Rooney's child and Donald Trump's son will play each other in some competitive game in their academies.
I'd like to take back everything I said about the Redcoats. That's a game I want you to win against the U.S.
And they put up Barron Trump's stats from his 24 games for DC. He played for the DC United U-12s. Remember?
Yeah.
We talked about this last year. He has no goal scored, but he has he accumulated one yellow card.
Hey, there you go.
Okay, so he's out there.
All right. Look, I'm not making fun of the guy's kid.
We're talking about his play. We're evaluating his play based on his stats right now. I'm sure Barron Trump is a perfectly fine young man.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a terrible, terrible family, but what are you going to do?
I mean, you can't. Look, you don't pick that.
It's hard. I feel bad for him.
You don't pick that. You pick who you become.
Not his fault.
Clearly, he's out here.
How do you think he earned
it? Midfielder?
He's, does it say? Oh, I don't think it says what position he plays. I don't know. They probably move him around, you know.
I know he plays for the DCU Academy, but his dad really wants him to join the White Cops.
White Cops FC.
Yeah. Oh, his dad's favorite. Good people. Good people.
Good on both sides. Yeah, both teams.
Everybody.
Both teams are very good.
Everybody has good people.
So now he joined the Arlington Soccer Association U13s, and he's played two games.
There you go.
So best of luck, Barron.
And best of luck, Lil Rooney.
Lil Rooney.
Dude's just balding at 12 years old.
It's hair plugs, mate. What are you talking about?
Yeah. He's just stocky, ready to go. You saw what Wayne Rooney looked like at 17, right? Have you ever seen? I know you weren't watching Everton back then, but have you seen? He looked like what he looks like now.
Yeah,
he looked like a stocky. He looked like a man, like an adult man at 17. I bet you his kid looks just like
There was some, was it DC United? I think ESPN did a video about him. And he, but he was interesting. He was a very confident young man. He was a confident player. He was saying that when he was 16 years old and he was already training with the Everton first team, he knew he was the best player on the pitch, which is like, man, you're destined for some kind of greatness if you already feel that way.
That's true.
Also, Everton might have been insanely trash if the 16-year-old is the best player.
I feel like get the kid in here. I mean, you hear about the 14-year-old in Paraguay who scored? Youngest player ever to score in Paraguay?
No, I have not.
Yeah, 14-year-old. The jerseys look like Barca. Same colors, vertical stripes. You know how they do that.
Well, in Dominican Republic, the young men score in different ways at much younger ages.
Absolutamente.
Popote. Popote sounds like it should be a merengue song. Like, popote, 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 popote. That's a good, like, dembo. Like, I could see El Alfa doing a song like that. Yeah.
Absorbente is too long. It's too many syllables.
Too many syllables? Nah, it doesn't work.
Sorbeto, it's still too many. It's not good. Popote.
It just works.
That's the beat. Already, babote, 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 babote.
So a couple other things before we get into I just mentioned Zlatan. Rumors are that he may not be coming back to LA Galaxy.
They've been the rumors for a while, right? There were all the rumors of Egypt.
Yeah, I guess it was, but now it seems like Mino Raiola wants to get him to AC Milan.
Yeah, he wants to go back to AC Milan. How lit would it be if he joined Boca? Okay, just like a crazy weird Argentinian league.
He would be literally twice the size of every Argentinian player.
It would be insanity, though.
Sure.
If I was a soccer player and
he's
just
going to bring his kids out to just the dangerous ass Argentina for soccer games.
As a soccer player, half your contract is going to go towards security. And then you're going to need the other half to buy security for that security because you can't trust anybody. But if I was a soccer player, I'd go to some place like that. That's just nutty at the end of my career.
No, dude, why do you think these Argentinian players come here? Because one, it's insanely violent. They're worried about their family being kidnapped, and they don't even they play and they may not even get paid. That's the comfort. That's why I think we were talking last week about Tata not having cold feet about leaving.
Yeah,
but
because everything just works here.
Everything just works. That's really. I mean, it's not well.
No,
not the best.
No one said it's perfect.
But there are countries where it's way way worse.
Based on some other places, this place tends to work. You get paid. You know,
there's like laws that people respect.
Yeah, so to most degree.
For the most part. I mean, at the labor laws, right, where you work and you get paid. There's like at least some protections for employees.
Yeah.
So
also like negotiations aren't like, what do you want? I'll give it to you. And you're like, but am I going to get it?
What do you mean, Pence? Yeah. We got to bring Pence into this.
No. We're talking. Everything's fine.
All right.
But this is in the back of a bakery. Yeah. Don't worry.
Maybe that's the concern at like, maybe for going to Mexico of like the comfort and the stability. Like the U.S.
Nothing against Mexico. It's just what he knows now.
Exactly.
He's been paid without a problem. His players have been paid without a problem. He hasn't had to mitigate any of that like maybe he had to do in previous stops. So, you know, to some degree, he's like, I don't know.
Right.
Feels pretty good.
So, but Zlatan leaving MLS after being in the league for just what, 6-7 months? I would genuinely be very upset. That would be upsetting to me.
I wouldn't.
Why?
I get it. He scored what, 22 and 20? Had a monster.
He had 20 assists. You meant
in 20 games, I think.
22 and 20. Okay. I thought you said 22 and 20.
No, 22 in 20. He clearly had, a beast of a season. I said that he was a bust. I was wrong. I think Christian said it now that I think about it. But you look back and you think, but he doesn't move very well. I don't know that he's someone that's going to get better next year. I think he's probably not going to get a lot of time over at AC Milan, but it's a chance for him to go back to, you know, a league that he was really popular in.
You don't think
in.
He starts out straight up in AC Milan?
Not necessarily. No, I think he's just, honestly, I think he just moved really slow here. I can't imagine
that's
okay
there. I think he's always been a slow player in his time at Manchester United.
Yeah, but it's uncomfortable looking now.
I mean, why? Because of these speedy ass MLS dudes?
Because we're fast and physical, baby.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, well, the truth is, and I think
you say we like you're included in that.
Oh, 100%. I'm a part of that. I think this is unequivocal. It's just he couldn't hack it here. You know what I mean?
He just couldn't keep up with Alexis Guerrero's.
Too good of a league. By the way, you want to see slow? Put me out there. You'll see slow.
I would be bummed. I enjoy watching Zlatan in the league. I love the pageantry. I love the quotes. I'm here for it. So I think it would be. What happened to I came and I conquered England and I conquered France and Italy.
He won everywhere he went except
the
LA Galaxy.
I thought you what's up? I mean, why would his ego allow him to just leave the league without winning anything
after failing?
Yeah,
to failure.
Very much.
What you got? Two highlights, my guy. Come on.
Yeah, just two. Just two insane.
I mean, they're pretty impressive. They're really impressive.
But
that's it, though?
That's all you got?
Wow.
Are you just coming up with just two, like, mega golazos? Yeah. That's not
earth-shattering, game-changing.
Broke the internet. That's it? That's all you got?
All you got in you?
Yo, this resume ain't that strong, to be honest.
Wow. All that while writing another book? Wow, that's it?
So the last thing I wanted to mention was Waka Flocka, mm-hmm. right? Because Waka Flocka was out here.
Which, if you don't know, that's how Paraguayans say straw.
A lot of syllables there. Hey, man, I don't judge, whatever. Waka Flocka was out at Yankee Stadium. Which is cool, right? Came out to Yankee Stadium to watch.
That would have been cooler like 7 years ago, but yeah, it's cool.
Okay. I mean, he made a song called No Hands. He's watching soccer. It makes all the sense in the world, right?
Yeah, it's true. So he's out there doing with no hands.
So Waka Flocka was and we from our section, we saw him right sitting out right near the field.
How could you miss him? He's wearing an Atlanta United.
Yeah, amongst all NYCFC fans.
Amongst all NYC fans. Long as dreads. He's got the Atlanta, what was it? We gonna shine flag, and then he started putting it around his head. I mean, how can you not notice him sitting on the sideline?
So after the game, well, and this was cool too. Atlanta it was news two ABC sent a reporter to cover an MLS game. I mean, this is like insane. This is not common.
Yeah, Atlanta United, whatever you're paying Waka Flocka, it's working. It really is. So, it's money well spent.
This is a cool thing. So it was Zach Klein. His Twitter is at Zach Klein WSB. And so he's a sports director, and he works at, it says Channel 2. I assume it's an
WABC.
ABC,
in Atlanta.
WSB, ABC TV, Atlanta, their local affiliate. And he's interviewing Waka Flocka at the game. But it's
on the field.
On the field. It's just crazy that a local reporter
would be sent to New York.
Would be sent to New York. So you have to cover those fees.
Right.
The flight, hotel.
To interview a rapper.
At a soccer game.
At a soccer game.
Last game. I mean, this is unheard of. Most local stations do not do this.
No.
This is a good time.
Unless there was a hurricane coming and he could stand outside during it, they do not send
There's
someone.
There's a hurricane in Yankee Stadium. We're going to send Zach.
Yeah. He's like,
coming
as
live.
You can see, I'm going to die. Yeah.
So, but this was cool because they did ask Waka Flocka, Zach did ask Waka Flocka about his time watching the game. And he asked him an interesting question about whether Waka Flocka would rather win a Grammy or have Atlanta United win the MLS Cup, which is like a
and he said
so let me play that for you. Okay, so here goes. Hold on.
It's the start of a championship banner for United to hang something from Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Man, to be honest with you, I'm not gonna lie, like that'll mean a lot to Atlanta. That'll show the growth in Atlanta. That'll show where we're going in the future. And that'll put the city, where the city already behind, we'd be sold out 55,000 plus all the time. But it'll make a harder impact. It'll make a bigger name. It'll make kids more happy to play football. I mean, soccer. I've been in Europe, soccer, so it'd be great.
What would you rather have, Atlanta United win it all or a Grammy for best hip-hop artist?
Oh, Atlanta United win it all. That's my Grammy.
That's it?
Of course.
You must be paying him a lot.
he's repping, man. I mean, you got to give him.
You know, I got to be honest. This is what I would hope for every market, you know, would bring, You know, I complained about it when Lil Uzi Vert was wearing the Club America shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is how you connect to your local market. What do the people in that market want to see? Maybe Waka Flocka isn't, like, you know, having Migos out there or something, or like having Lil Baby out there wearing an Atlanta United shirt. But he's clearly a fan favorite. He's a big name. And having him be sort of this kind of cultural ambassador for Atlanta United is kind of dope. It's kind of fire.
It is cool. It's cool to see. He was repping hard out there. He was waving his flag right in our section. Mad disrespectful.
Yeah.
But
it's still like, culturally, as a fan of NYCFC, yeah, that's hard to watch. Culturally, you're like, this is kind of dope. Like, Chicago Fire needs to get Chief Keef wearing the jersey right now.
Sure, you know, the pillar of the community, Chief Keef.
Yeah, Chief Keef. Stand-up individual, Chief Keef. He did his time. You know, new NYCFC guy got a free Bobby Shmurda.
Yeah.
Get him out there.
Yeah, every time Chief Keef sees all the news about Section 101, and, you know, he's just like, that's that shit I don't like. And it's like this
bang, bang.
So we love it.
Okay. Banning fans, that's that shit I don't like. Bang, bang.
So just a cool thing. And look, and he answered the question. He'd be like, Atlanta United winning MLS Cup would be my Grammy, which is very, this team has existed 2 damn years. And
less than that.
Yeah. And look how much it already means to the city. That's the kind of thing that kind of support. Look, I mean, we saw it when we were out there
every time we've been there.
It's been incredible.
And it gets bigger and better. It hasn't gotten old yet. More and more people care about Atlanta United, and it is now become an integral part.
Integral and integral are two different words.
Yeah.
They work in the way you're trying to use them, but you don't need to be self-conscious about it, Alexis.
Okay. Integral part of the community there.
Yes, yes.
It's important. It's a part of the culture of Atlanta.
Yeah, it's very much so. They ain't going to Hawks games. They can barely tolerate the Falcons anymore.
The Hawks ain't going to Hawks games. You seen those?
So it's a little that the Knicks and the Hawks have in common. So we're both very bad. So let's get to the next segment because
we got playoff games to talk about,
and they're just too damn late. I mean, this weekend was literally bananas. Man.
It was bananas.
All right, so we'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just have a word from one of our sponsors, SeatGeek.
SeatGeek, looking out for you, looking out for the Cooligans, looking out for anybody who listens to the show and is a supporter of the show and likes going to soccer games, concerts, likes going to football games.
Just live events.
Live events.
You know, and they're so hard to get tickets to. I don't understand why they're so difficult to get tickets to. You got to go to this website. Maybe you got to check this one. Your friend tells you, like, oh, there's this other website that people sell their tickets they already bought. You don't know what's happening. That's why SeatGeek is here, okay? Just download that app. I said this to someone the other day. They were new in New York, and they said, oh, we're here. They're from England, and they said, we would love to go see a Knicks game. And I was like, you don't want to do that. And they were like, we want to see a Knicks game. How do we get tickets? They thought it was like an English soccer game, like you had to find a fan with a card and give them money. And I said, no, just download the SeatGeek app. I said, download the SeatGeek app. And they said, what's that? I explained it to them. I said, download the SeatGeek app. All you have to, it's going to know where you are. It'll find Madison Square Garden because you're right here in New York City. And you can find the cheapest tickets for the Knicks that are available across all those other websites. You don't know those websites, okay? So all you have to do is just, you're going to see them all. They're going to tell you, everyone, you're not from here. You're from England, you know? You're probably thinking you have to overturn a scone or something to find a ticket.
That's where they keep the tickets.
Just go to that website and go to that app. And I told them, put in Cooligans and you're going to get $20 off your order.
That's great. I mean, that's a good move. I'm glad you did that, Alexis.
I mean, that's what I'm here for.
Good on you. I told another comedian, our buddy Jonathan Morvay. It was after the World Series loss for the Dodgers, and I said, "Yo, man, go cheer yourself up. Go to the LAFC playoff knockout game. They're playing RSL. It's gonna be a lot more positive and fun. And they're so much better than RSL, and they're definitely gonna win.
100%. And you can possibly go the other way,
and you're gonna feel so much better.
Yeah.
And then I just ruined this day, and I said, "Yo." But I told him, use the SeatGeek app and use the promo code Cooligans and you get $20 off your first order.
Boom.
Boom. All right. So
why don't you do that? Next time you have an event, listen to Christian and I. Pretend you're one of our friends or two British people I'm talking to. And go to the App Store or go to the Google Play Store or go wherever you get your apps. Download the SeatGeek app. It knows where you are. It tells you the best prices for all the tickets you need. And if you put in Cooligans, they're going to give you $20 off your first order. Yeah, baby, we're back.
We are back. And boy, these playoffs. I mean, look, for people listening, some of you might be very excited about leg number two. Some may not.
Maybe you're a fan of a team that's not involved, but you're realizing, wait a minute, I'm glad I'm still watching because this is insanity.
Maybe you enjoy seeing other fan bases suffer.
Yeah, which is happening.
I mean, I was mentioning LAFC, but there were a bunch of people sending us like, yo, glad LAFC's done. Like LA Galaxy fans were like, yo, good for them.
Yeah.
You know? It's fun. And I mean, but LAFC was trashing Galaxy for not even making it to the playoffs.
It's true. There's so many fans going back and forth at each other. I love watching it.
It's great. It's very, very
much entertaining. It's the best part. You don't even have to be involved. You just pull up Twitter, you grab some popcorn.
Yes, a bunch of this was from in the Gully Squad Facebook group.
Oh, should we be mentioning it?
Are these secrets? Are we not?
I mean, you got to be a part of it.
But I'll give a little teaser. But Jay Riddle's in there.
Jay
Riddle's in there.
Yeah, just memeing and Photoshop and whatever the hell he wants.
But in the Portland Seattle game, there were a lot of. There was a great scarf in out there in Timber's Army that just says, you know, F your city.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the whole word is in there.
Yeah. Why are we not saying it?
I don't know. Just, you know,
iTunes has the E on
if
it.
If I don't have to curse, I won't.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, well, that's you. It says fuck your city.
Okay. That's just, you know, there are some younger listeners and, you know.
Hey, well, you think if we curse, that's what they're going to hear it? Are you kidding me?
It's going to ruin their childhood.
Come on.
There's a bunch of fun stuff like that being shared. But we got to talk about some of these games because these games were just
they were bananas.
The playoffs, that's it. They were bananas, everybody. Yeah. So the playoffs are feeling, I don't know if it's year after year or like the just quality of the league improving, but the landscape is just, there's more eyes on it. Don't feel alone watching
it. It seems important to the fans, but now it seems like somewhat more culturally important.
Yeah,
because
I remember watching, it was the MLS Cup, I think it was Houston against LA Galaxy a couple years ago. And it was just like on TV, I'm like, oh, this is on, okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch. But I felt alone. I'm like, there's no one. I might be the only person on ESPN watching this. That's how I felt, because that's how little I ever really heard people talking about MLS.
I think it was two MLS Cups ago. Three. So this was the MLS Cup before the year, before we started. So we went to that one. We went to the one the year we started.
Yes.
In Toronto versus Seattle, where Seattle won.
No, we did not. The first MLS Cup when we started was Portland, Columbus. And Portland won in Columbus.
Right. So the year before that.
So 2014.
Which I believe was LA Galaxy?
Probably. I don't remember who was there.
I was at a bar after a spot, and everyone was watching some football game. And I said, hey, can one of these TVs be put on ESPN? And the bartender was like, for what? I go, MLS Cup. And he's like, all right.
Oh, boy.
And I was like,
you want me to lose business, buddy?
Everyone's on that side of the bar, on the far end of the bar, watching the games. I said, hey, can you put the audio on for this game just here?
LA Galaxy, New England Revolution. Yeah. I was thinking.
I said, you mind just putting the audio on here? And the guy's like, man, nobody wants to watch soccer. Nobody wants to listen to it. And I remember that reaction of him being like, I had no idea this was happening. This isn't important.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. And I felt like I had nowhere to go at that time.
Yeah.
This is what, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Now there's plenty of places I could have gone that would have been dedicated to that game.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we're really in a very small amount of time where where it feels a little different. The culture, even in New York, where there's like, you know, you can ask to put the game on, and there's less like they'll be like. But they'll do it, you know? Yeah. They won't be like, nobody's going to watch
that. The soccer fans are back, as opposed to like, you're a fan of soccer?
Yeah. So it's like, there's improvement, all right?
Yeah.
These guys...
We're making strides, and that's all that matters.
Little by little. So, first game, Columbus against the New York Red Bulls at Mapfre Stadium. Everything, right? Save the Crew, their home game. They didn't fill it as much as they probably wanted to.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Although it was just really the middle. The edges looked really nicely full.
Healthy amount, but there were some people throwing some shade.
NYCFC can't. I mean, we can't talk. We had less than 20,000 people.
Was it less than 20,000? What was the actual number?
19 something.
More than it was like 15 for the Halloween game, the knockout game. That's not great. So Columbus wins this, wins the first leg 1-0. And I mean, we have to talk about the goal.
Huge to win against Red Bull. Red Bulls are coming in as probably the hottest team momentum wise.
Best points in MLS history.
Best points in MLS history. I mean, this was a big move to be even in your own home. There's something about the way Columbus sets up where I feel like they're the toughest team for Red Bull to play.
Dude, so I mean, this game made me have a little bit more respect for Greg Berhalter, where I'm like, oh, wow. Like
Tactically,
because he doesn't have better players.
No.
He doesn't have a better team.
But I still don't really understand keeping Federico Higuain.
Higuain played 120 minutes the game before. Remember, went to extra time and penalties, and he played 75 minutes in the last game of the decision.
He won't get a lot of rest if they don't advance. If they would have gotten blown out, then it would have been pointless for him to play anyway.
He took a risk, and it worked out.
I get it. It did work out.
Yeah, yeah.
I still kind of don't really understand it, but I do get it, and it worked.
Dude played two.
Am I saying I'm a better coach than him? Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Do I deserve the national team job? Of course.
Ah, but it's apparently I have to speak better English.
Yeah, that's it. You were denied the position because we need an English speaker.
This guy just keeps using the wrong words over and over again. He doesn't know anyone's name.
Did you see Tata after the doing the post game in English?
He said something in English. That's like a little bit. That was enough.
Shout out to Unreal ATL. Jay Riddle from Unreal ATL made a great, what is the shades? You know, what is it?
The Doug Life thing where the glasses come down.
Yes, yes, yes. And he did one with Tata where that was just absolutely hilarious. If you haven't seen it, look it up. It's so funny. I'll look for it at one point when we talk about Atlanta. So, but this game, the goal, we have to talk about the goal because Higuain comes in the second half. And I think at around the 60th minute, this pass that now we will, maybe we won't refer to him as Gonzalo Higuain's brother anymore.
No.
Because maybe he earned a first name at this point.
Federico, man. That first of all, he passed it to Gianzi Sardis, right?
Yes.
A beautiful pass. Cuts through what? I think two lines. It's insane.
Well, no, the pass came, I believe, from who got the second assist? I want to say not Pedro Santos. It was a long pass that gave to Higuain, but he, instead of taking a touch,
he back heels it.
Just back heels
it. Yeah, so he David Villa's it. What I love is when it gets to Gianzi Sardis. He is completely open between him and the goalkeeper, and that's it.
Yeah.
There's no one in front of him. It was the perfect back heel. But I, just as a fan of the game, immediately thought like, oh, God, I wish this was anybody else besides Sardes. There's just still that distrust I have of Gianzi Sardes. And he, perfect shot. I don't know that he had the most confidence either in a shot. The way he touched it was like, please, 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 please. Yeah. But it went in. It was just such a beautiful run up.
Yeah. The whole play building up. So the second assist was for Milton Valenzuela.
Valenzuela.
But that, the build up, Gianzi Sardis to keep making that run. And he basically just burned Sean Davis.
Yeah.
And to keep that run going. And for Higuain, who didn't just make a back heel pass, but he did a back heel layoff. You know what I mean? Like
Heel through pass.
Yes. Yeah. He put it in perfect stride for Gianzi.
Absolutely.
If Gianzi would have missed this, it would have been insane, but nobody would have been surprised.
It would have deteriorated his confidence that he built over the last year. It really would have, because this would have been more of the same.
Yeah.
So much so that I expected him to miss it. Also, Robles happens to be a pretty incredible goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I expected him to miss
it. But to be, you know, one-on-one like that, everyone didn't expect that pass from Higuain.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are the things he's capable of. He did it in the knockout round. He's just that game changer. Right?
It really is.
Clearly makes everyone better on the field. Everybody's a bit more confident when he's there, similar to the way NYCFC is when you know, the difference between Maxi Morales being on the pitch and not. I mean, we need these Argentinians in the midfield. I mean, that's basically it. What we're saying. So Rebels lose this game, right? And this another...
It's only 1-0, though.
It's only 1-0, but another just, you know, the Rebel fans already getting for the disappointment that is about to come.
There seems to be a group of fans that are like, this is Ometro, this is what happens to us all the time. There is this weird confidence, and you met Yuri over at Scars, right? You met him when we were there. He's one of these, like, fans that have been around for a while, but he has this, like, newer confidence. He's like, I don't care. This team is built for this. It doesn't matter. We're going to be able to come back, which is hard for me to hear from Red Bull fans because they've, for such a long time, have been so woe is me.
Sure.
Especially when things like this happen to them. This is, this is why we can't get over the hump, blah, blah. We're only ever going to win supporter shields. We can't win MLS Cup. This is a big moment, though, because there's some fans that believe that they'll be okay. And I kind of agree with them. I think that this is not that big of a hurdle for them to be able to jump over in their own home. And part of the reason I have that confidence is because even with Federico Higuain, Bradley Wright Phillip got a pretty incredible header off.
Yes.
It just so happened that Zach Steffen happened to have a better, more incredible save.
Zach Steffen.
I can't imagine how he got into that, to the ground as fast as he did.
Yeah. He's the men's national team number one for a reason. He's clearly earned that. And for these playoff performances, you got to give him all the credit in the world. He's just, he saves his best for the end of the season.
Yes. And did you see that thing I retweeted from the Cooligans account? Somebody said, I believe it was 26 penalty kick attempts against him.
Oh, right.
Only 4 of them have been converted.
It's incredible.
That is...
I don't even know if it's like an athleticism thing or just like psyching people out or just like he has like...
Does he rub something before he goes to the game? Does he have like an old sock he's never washed?
It's like at the Apollo, you rub
the stump.
The stump, right? Yeah. He does that before he goes up against a penalty. I can't even... I mean, maybe he just does his research. He knows where maybe they're going to go. Maybe there's a tell... It's like poker, right?
Whatever he's doing needs to be studied at when he retires. And teach it to every goalkeeper in the U.S. Academy systems.
Yeah, it's impressive. So I don't know. The Red Bulls are 1-0, being 1-0 down. I'm confident the Rebels will get through because Columbus is definitely not as good on the road. And we saw last year against NYCFC, which they lost the second leg, but they won in aggregate. But you know, NYCFC was pretty dominant in that second leg. So I think we might have more of that.
Well, this is why I'm confident that the Rebels, I don't think this shakes up the Rebels so much, is because look at what everyone's saying. No one is saying, like, what are the Rebels going to do? Everyone's saying, can the Rebels play their game? And I wonder what Berhalter's going to do. Everyone's worried about how Columbus is going to react to walking in a Rebel arena with a lead. So, yeah, I don't think this is as big a deal as the fans are making it out to be.
Well, this loss made Chris Armas join Twitter. Do you know that?
That's right. He joined
Twitter to rally the troops and get everybody to the game.
And you know,
everybody.
From the first moment, he was like, this is what you mean about your notifications blowing up.
He's learning. So that's cool. So we'll see what happens in that game. All right. Next up. The Portland Seattle. Oh my goodness!
This is the Cascadia.
Look at this. What these guys? They're just having a grand old time out there.
This is wild. The atmosphere looked
tough. Game. All right. Look, Portland does win 2-1, but devastating losses of players for Seattle.
Seattle, yeah.
Christian Roldan injured and Chad Marshall injured.
Yeah, but Christian Roldan injured himself while pretending. Like diving to get a fucking a penalty.
Hey,
could you imagine the embarrassment?
It didn't look like that dumb. I mean,
it looked stupid. You injured yourself pretending to get taken down. It's embarrassing. That's like calling your boss to get the day off work because you have the flu. Or because your grandmother died and then killing your grandmother. You know what I mean? Or then she dies. You know, because of the phone call.
I'm lost in this analogy. All I hear is that you've murdered your grandmother.
The thing you pretended to happen to you happened is what the whole point is.
Yes. So, but I thought, look, he was trying to draw a foul and it didn't work out. So whatever. They didn't get a penalty called.
You don't think that's embarrassing, dog? He dragged his foot back.
He
rolled around. Give me the penalty. Hey, what hurts?
It was like... it was like almost believable that he could have. In a league without VAR, I could see that being called a penalty and people being upset. And I would be like, that's not a penalty. So it looked believable enough to me where I could understand that where he was trying to sell it. That's all I'm saying. But so I'm not, I don't think it's necessarily embarrassing, but.
Oh, I think it's embarrassing.
It is what it is. So, but that was a devastating loss because like the goals that they gave up were definitely like balls that kind of just went through the middle where Roldan would be to put some pressure and not allow kind of passes to go through like that. And, Jeremy Abobasi.
Abobasi is a beast, man.
Getting the first goal.
Aboba beast.
That's right. That's what we've coined. Yeah. That's his name now.
TM.
But it's interesting seeing him. He's 21 years old. I was watching like the post game, and he is. He's had a weird season where he's been like at Timbers 2 and not getting that much playing time, fighting with like you know. For playing time with Armenteros.
Not just Armenteros. Who was the other kid?
Leaving.
Who was the other guy that they had that can score? The dude on Portland.
Before Milano. Lucas Milano.
No, I don't think it was him.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Go ahead. Don't worry about it.
But he comes off very, not necessarily just confident, but very grateful and appreciative of the support that he's getting from the Timbers Army. And he really wants to give back. You know, like... I was reading something about, I don't know who it was or who it was a reference to, but it was something about a player, some soccer player in MLS saying like, hey, we want the supporters out there so you can give us, you know, oh no, no. A fan said like, hey, we got to go get to the game. Let's fill the stand so we can support our boys. Right.
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, if these guys need fans in the stadium to play better, then something's wrong with them. And then I mean, this was the equivalent of what happened to
pull the pin, throw the grenade.
What happened to like Ariel with that guy who mansplained about, and it was a great thing. But
one of my favorite things was the fans. Just
but then
going
the fans, the soccer fans, were just like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. Like every player always says, like when the fans are there, it genuinely makes a difference in how the game is played.
Of course.
So
especially a fan base like that.
So Abobasi sort of like he expresses that. He's like, hey, this is the I don't take the Timbers Army for granted. Like this is an incredible stadium. This is an incredible place to play, and I want to meet the high standards that they set for the club and for the players. So the goal that he did get, he got the first Timbers goal. Great run. Great pass from Valeri.
Yeah, the fact that he's 21 surprises me because he plays like someone who's played for a much longer time. And I know he played in the U17 and the U21.
US?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
System. So he's had a lot of, he's, you know, this isn't like a new discovery.
Sure.
The player I was talking about was Darian Asprilla, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Who, you know, he couldn't score.
But he's not really a forward, right? Is he a forward or a winger?
He's a forward.
He's a forward.
And he's basically the Kyrie Shelton of Portland. I mean, okay. All the tools, nowhere to put them. You know what I mean?
Look, we can't knock Kyrie. Kyrie's been important to Sporting Kansas State.
He's been integral.
He's been, that's right. Well, he's been not really scoring much.
No, but he's done all the other
things. He's doing
the
hold up play pretty well. And he's not even, I wouldn't even say Kyrie Shelton is passing the ball. He's just laying it off.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, you do what you got to do.
A little tappy tap. You guys run over here and get it.
But it's important, right? He's doing what he needs to do.
But speaking of Portland, this kid at Abobasi, I mean, I think I also retweeted somebody did, you know, the meme of the guy looking back at the other girl.
Yeah.
They had, that was Giuseppe Racy. And the other person was, I believe, Darian Asprilla. And then here comes Armenteros. Yeah. Or it was Fernando Adi and Armenteros. And then underneath, the girlfriend that was like, hey, who are you looking at, was Armenteros. And the new girl was Abobasi. And I was like, this is literally the entire season perfectly explained in two memes.
He's had a great, like, goal to game ratio or goal per 90. He earned the opportunity to get a start in the first leg of a playoff game, and he's beat out Armenteros to that. He's done more with less time, with less minutes than Armenteros has.
And this is the guy you go forward with next year. I think this is the guy you want to see how far he can take you.
Okay. But credit to him. That first goal was great. The chip over Stephen Fry.
Incredible.
Again, it's just like, it's one of those things like, oh, he's only 21 and he's doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
In
a big game.
And then the second goal from Sebastian Blanco, just baller. I mean, he just kind of muscled his way in there. The goal from in the 10th minute from Rui Diaz was dope as well.
Yeah, Rui Diaz had a beast goal. And actually, if you are a Portland Timbers fan, you were probably worried at that moment. Yeah, Seattle looked like they came to play.
Yeah.
And Rui Diaz has just had an incredible end of the season. So it doesn't seem like it's slowing down.
So the issue with this series is that the second leg of this match is going to be held on Thursday because Seattle, the CenturyLink Stadium, has a car show this weekend that they couldn't schedule any other time. So they had precedence and they knocked the Seattle Sounders out. So they have to play the game on Thursday.
Jesus. I mean, just really, we're talking about how important soccer is to the culture now. Goddamn car show. But I will say this. Seattle fans are a little worried because Chad Marshall and Christian Roldan look like they're going to be out.
Yeah.
But you got an away goal.
Big, yeah.
It's not impossible. And you got
a 1-0 win wins the series. So wins, you know.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you can bunker. You got Rui Diaz, right?
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, this is
again, Red Bull and Seattle, not completely out of it. And this is sort of like the fun of a two-leg aggregate series is this.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you feel good. You won the game. It's like, homie, you ain't put it out of reach.
Yeah. The best part about, I think, this weekend in all the first legs were that nobody got blown out.
No. Nope.
Every game is gone. So the second games are definitively going to be like, we don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, all right. So next up, let's get NYCFC against Atlanta United. We attended this soccer match.
Unfortunately, you know, I miss all the good ones, dude. I think NYCFC had no shots on goal.
They had no shots on goal.
Did you read the article in The Athletic from Christian Dyer?
Christian Dyer or Arayos?
No, Dyer.
Dyer. Okay, so this Arayos is the one. He's like the beat writer for The Athletic.
Yeah, this is the other. This guy spells his name with a K.
Okay.
Cool. Basically talked about like the tactics that Tata used to limit the chances, and all of it was just getting Maxi Morales out of the game. And this looked like the team from before Maxi Morales was like when he was injured and he wasn't playing.
Yeah,
this just no way to get the ball to the feet of David Villa. Just hard to watch. The few chances they had was, you know, Ronald Matarita up there pretending to be a striker and not doing a good job of the impression.
He missed a really great chance. But also, Escobar missed an amazing opportunity, that cross.
Yeah.
Went
across the face of the goal.
Weird game. Not a game. This was honestly, in my experience, the first MLS game I've ever seen that felt like a South American game.
It was sloppy. It was dirty.
Disgusting. The divots in the field that LGP was kicking up.
Everybody was trying to get
LGP
other
had
people
to fix the field. You saw that? Yeah. He's part of the Yankee Stadium grounds crew now.
The grounds crew. they were. Everybody was trying to get the other person out on red cards and stuff.
Yeah.
This was a rough one. It was fun to watch,
yeah,
in the sense that, like, all right, look at these guys are really going for it. But at the end of the day, you're like, I don't think I saw much action. I don't think I saw much activity there.
Yeah, it would have been nicer to see just like a run of play. We didn't get much of that. Both teams neutralized each other's best player.
Yeah.
Everybody was getting fouled.
Everybody. And let's be honest. Joseph Martinez barely got any action.
But
Miguel Amiron looked like he was trying to chase after the game a lot as opposed to having the game come to him.
Yeah.
So both teams tactically were very smart. The big issue is that Remedy gets one of these like scrambling goals.
But I'm watching the replay of that, and it was just a poor, just it was NYCFC like 2015 poor set piece defending where like they were doing great all game. And then for some reason, it seemed like they were playing zone.
Yeah.
And when they don't really ever do that, and Joseph Martinez just, you know, basically runs over to the penalty spot, gets an open crack, with, you know, so close. And Sean Johnson obviously bobbles it and hit him at the,
what else
right
are you going to do?
Exactly. I mean,
the shot comes in super close.
I was upset that the shot even happened. Like he had all the space to wind up and take a crack. Like,
right.
And he didn't have to jump or anything like that. So that was like, as a fan of NYCFC, that was like the frustrating part. But look, Atlanta came in with a plan, right? They apparently
they certainly did.
Tata was watching the two Philadelphia Union games, the last two games, and they were like, we're not going to do any of that. We're going to just punch them in the mouth,
yeah,
right? Go right at their face. And it was interesting to see how NYCFC was going to handle that kind of adversity. And I would, and because they lost, it's easy to say that they didn't handle it well. But defensively, I thought they were great. Maxime Cheneau had probably man of the match, right? From a from an NYCFC perspective, he was unreal. I mean, he, and this game could have easily been 3 or 4 nil going to Atlanta. So this leaves a lot of room for NYCFC. Look, if they play well defensively back in Atlanta, even though they never do on the road.
Look, here's the thing, right? You want the team, they have a real home field advantage. This is only the second loss, the second team to beat them all season at home.
Atlanta United and the abominable New England Revolution.
Yeah, geez, really. If you're going to make a list and they're on it, that's not good. But they don't play well on the road. Their tactics and their team are built for the small pitch, you know, that they have at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And now they're going to go to Atlanta, where Atlanta hasn't played incredible this year, but I'm sure they're going to play better than they do on the...
They're going to be hype. They're going to be hype.
This is going to be a tough one for NYCFC. I could see NYCFC getting close. It's hard for me to see a scenario in which they win.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, if they play as well defensively as they played at Yankee Stadium, I'd be pretty confident.
They just have no answer for...
1-0 takes it to extra time. If they just... All they have to do is win. They just have to win. If they win 2-1, they're good.
Yeah. If they win... If they lose 3-2, no, they lose.
No,
if they lose 2-2, I was going to say if they draw 2-2, we win.
2-2 would be NYCFC's win. So look, we love you, Atlanta. Look, we were getting a lot of trash from Unreal ETL.
People were flaming us. For no reason.
We just getting all these messages that simply said, ha 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 ha. Yeah. Okay. All right, Kelly Francis.
Yeah. Come on now, Kel.
Tone it down with that kind of rhetoric, you know?
And what was it they said?
It's election day. We don't need that kind of divisiveness in the country.
Exactly. We're already torn apart as a country. We don't need this. What did she say? She's going to suspend her love for the Cooligans?
That's right.
One game? Don't you dare.
How dare you, okay? You know, families fight all the time.
This is not fair. We didn't do anything.
Also, a single entity. If you win, we all win.
Yeah, I know, duh. We all get a parade.
So, this is the one.
I don't see what answer they're going to have. Maxi Morales just can't do it on his own. And it's not like we can put in another midfielder that is as creative.
Some people were suggesting Brigitte should play more minutes and get more time because he's just bigger than a lot of the other Atlanta. Like United
he is midfield. Shockingly tall.
He is pretty tall.
I saw how tall he was for the first time this game. Really,
sure,
because everyone else is so tiny. But I would love to see. He's also kind of a pest, which is good for people like LGP. Yeah. It riles them
and
up.
And for you, he pests you all the time with his play.
Yeah. Oh, so I know he's the hell out of me. Great beard. But yeah, I think if Brigitte plays, maybe Villa moves a bit more into the midfield. Maybe that's an answer.
I'm excited. I know.
Dome, let's see what you got, Dome.
I know Atlanta fans are excited about this game. We are as well. We have this little, you know, we love Atlanta. There's a little rivalry there, and we wish you the best, but also the worst.
Yeah, yeah. We wish you the best, but yeah, you hopefully lose.
So that's how we feel. I mean, we're a little torn, but that's how it is. So next up, let's talk about this game, which is another crazy game. Real Salt Lake against Sporting Kansas City. Nobody expected it's like, you know, it's like Clerks, you know, in the movie Clerks, when it's like, I wasn't even supposed to be here today. You know, that's RSL. That's RSL's mantra.
Yeah.
For
they're
the
just
playoff.
Like, hey, man, this is cool. We're playing with house money. We don't care.
They get a 1-1 draw at the Riot. And both goals were just bangers that just lit
up. What was it? Severino?
No, Diego Rubio for Sporting KC.
Rusnak.
And Albert Rusnak.
Is it true he's not playing the next game? Did you hear
because
that?
He got I guess he got a yellow in the knockout and then a yellow. It's like, damn, that kind of sucks.
It's such a stupid
accumulated
rule. I hate that idea. We should just be out there being gully as hell. Get rid of the red cards. No,
there's just the FIFA no rules mode.
That Rusnak goal. As soon as I saw it, my eyes got wide. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Just really
off a volley, like sliding sideways. It was just
gorgeous.
Insanity.
I'm like, yo, we're like them hips. You know? Like,
damn,
you twist them hips. Are you saucing?
I know. A capoeira on the weekends?
Because that had some flair. That had some real style.
That's wild.
Who was it that laid the ball off? Who was that? I'm looking it up now. But he, what the hell's his name? Krylak. Damian Krylak, who had the karate kick.
Yeah, the karate kick
week
goal.
From the game prior. So, but Rusnak getting that goal was just making up for it. He has to miss the next game, right? But that layoff, that there were a lot of people talking about that. I think his name is Zach Goldman, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's he was tweeting Zach Goldman at That Damn Yank, who was a great follow on Twitter.
Always post some really cool stuff.
Yeah. He was posting that goal, and he was just like, that if this goal happened in the Prem, this would...
Oh, it would destroy.
It would go... Everybody would go
tons
nuts.
Tons of views. People would be talking about it forever. Copa 90 would do 35 segments on it. Yeah. No, this is huge. But because it happened in Salt Lake, nobody cares.
Exactly. So... And it was interesting because I was like, oh, that's sort of funny and that's a good point and stuff like that. But then I started reading comments about the goal from from MLS and different outlets that posted it. And it was all the, man, MLS goalkeeping is trash. And it's just like, yo, bro, no one is going to stop that shot. Doesn't matter what continent they play in.
Which is Pickford. Yeah. All of these dudes. Nobody's stopping that, man.
So give credit where credit is due. It was a great shot.
Super annoying. Tim Melia standing next to Pickford.
One of the best keepers.
One of those two would not stop that shot.
Tim Melia, one of the best keepers in the league, stops incredible shots. So if it got past Melia, you should know even more that that's how good the shot was.
I can't stand that. There's just you can't win as an MLS fan sometimes.
So the goal from Diego Rubio, he gets subbed in and scores pretty soon after he gets in.
Like his first touch.
Yeah, this was more of a mistake for RSL because it was a deflection. Good on SKC. Putting some pressure on. I think it was
Raimondo's mistake. Raimondo.
No. It wasn't his mistake. It was the pressure from.
But I think he laid off a bad pass.
So it was the pass came back from the defender. It was either Beckerman or it might have been Brooks Lennon. I don't remember. Or was it Silva or Brooks Lennon? I don't know. Pass, when he had space to go forward, passed it back to Raimondo when he shouldn't even be getting the ball.
Raimondo was under pressure all of a sudden.
Yeah, and then there's a forward coming right at him. Then it deflects off an SKC player, lands at Rubio's feet.
Rubio taps it twice with his foot and just sends a beautiful shot.
Gorgeous. I love goals that bounce on the ground before it goes in.
It's the best.
Because
he kind of sent it to the far post, and instead of curling it up into the top, he sort of sends it going directly into the ground, and it literally bounces just in front of the goal line.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. There's just no way you could stop that because your hand would stop it if it was a direct shot.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even know how to do a shot like that and keep the ball going at the same speed even after that first bounce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would just immediately just slow. It would just be a soft shot that
it
didn't
would just
reach
land
the goal.
In front of the goal. You're like, oh, look at that. Stop right there.
Oh,
for
we're
me.
Cute. But impressive. I mean, they got that away goal that they did. That's all they needed.
That's all they needed.
Going to the cauldron.
This wasn't a great game for RSL. And it wasn't an incredible game for Sporting Kansas City either, but it's a better game for Sporting Kansas City because they're going home where they play amazingly.
Interestingly enough, I saw this. I saw Ben Baer tweet this. Sporting Kansas City had only 33.4% possession, which is apparently the lowest they've ever had since 2015.
Wow!
So it's RSL.
Bad key.
Yeah, man. RSL went in like again. I'm not supposed to be here today, right?
Yeah.
But went in with a real plan, and look, a mistake is the reason they're not leading in this.
Which got to make them feel good moving forward.
But Pecky was post game. Pecky, that's his new name. Was look livid. He was just like, we look tired. We're not playing the way we should. And I love it. He calls Nick Raimondo Nicky. He's like, we're getting it. Nicky's taking too many touches on the ball. That's real. That's Jersey.
I mean, that just sounds like there should be Deli Me being sliced behind him, doesn't it?
Hey, stop giving the ball to Nicky, okay?
Nicky doesn't need this. You know, he goes home. He's got kids.
All right. You're putting a lot of pressure on Nicky, all right? So that's it, man. This was just overall, this game was just great. I'm excited about the second leg, but the fact that Rusnak is not going to be there, I'm like...
It's a little worrisome if you're RSL.
But apparently... RSL is like 4-0-1 without Rusnak this season. So I don't know what these playoffs.
Nobody knows what's going to happen.
Don't listen to anybody. Don't listen to us.
Please don't listen to us. If you do anything, please don't listen to us.
So, but it is going to be pretty wild. So that's it. That's the playoffs. So.
Hey, speaking of Kansas City, I just want to say hi to Jacob and Kelly, two people I met.
Oh, yeah, on your pizza tour.
Yeah, and they happened to be a big Kansas City, Sporting Kansas City. We didn't really talk about it because I don't always mention Cooligans on the tour just because
you're ashamed of it.
I'm ashamed. And I'm also, I then have to explain what MLS is sometimes to like a 48-year-old, you know, Italian guy who has no idea. But these guys, they were super cool. They're like, oh, we're big soccer fans. I'm like, hey, I was just there. And we kind of talked a little bit about it, but it was very loose and emailing back and forth. Somebody on Twitter, Chip Pate, mentioned the podcast.
Yes.
So if you happen to be listening, Jacob and Kelly, you guys are dope, and I hope you're enjoying New York City.
All right, cool. So thank you, guys. I hope you enjoyed that pizza. We'll do this on Friday, but we got a question from one of the Gully Squad. I think it might have been Eric Keating, about pizza recommendations that for the second episode we should maybe once in a while just make a new pizza recommendation of a place that you suggest that you think might be good. Maybe anywhere
what
in the country.
What a great idea.
Maybe in New York or whatever is in the Alexis is in the mood for.
Ah, now I like this. Now we should do three episodes.
So guys, thanks again for listening.
This is awesome.
We're going to be doing another episode on Friday.
We got another one coming up for you Friday. Well, a little later than we normally like.
A little
like
later. It'll be Friday afternoon. It'll be up, but we're going to be covering the Portland Seattle game, which is on Thursday because of the car show. The car show is very important. We're also going to be covering the car show.
We're going to be covering the car show. Very important.
We cover anything that happened to CenturyLink Field.
What are those new hybrids looking like?
I love Portland fans have been great because every time they post anything about the car show at CenturyLink, they just retweet it and go RCTID. So yeah, Rose City doing it big, man. You guys, I love you guys. I love all the trash between each other.
I did not understand the TIFO.
Oh, the only club that matters?
Yeah.
It's like Black Lives Matter, but Portland Timbers. So it's like...
I don't think that was it.
Right? That's what it is. That's how I...
Okay, that's how I... You know what? Now I get it.
Anyway, thank you again for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Make sure you leave a review. Make sure you sign
up. Five stars would be amazing.
Make sure you sign up for Gully Squad. You know, you have money lying in your pocket. You don't need it. Just help support the Coolies.
Turn the couch upside down and shake it. It would really help us out. Thank you to Clubhouse Athletic again for the dope jerseys and for doing something dope for Cuba, more than I've ever done. And, you know, Absorbente. Absorbente United.
That's right. Popote FC. Yeah. Out here strong. All right.
And let us know if you want to watch the Boca River game with us. Maybe we'll do that. 3:00. Let's go somewhere. Oh, maybe we should go to that Argentinian.
Wait, the game's on Saturday, right?
On Saturday. Maybe we should go to that the steakhouse. Boca Junior Steakhouse. We got to get there like 3 hours early.
Okay. Well, okay. We didn't talk about this, Alexis.
We had no idea. We're just talking about it now.
Trying to make a date with me.
We'll figure it out.
We also have to figure out what you Alexis. So we have to disappoint people. But the game against Cuba, that would be Cuba and DR. You have a
I'm
show.
I'm not going
to
be here.
You have a show.
Yeah.
That night where Alexis trying to get out of it, but you couldn't get out of it. What are you going to do? All right. So we'll figure that out. So we'll send info to people. So thank you again for listening. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans.